The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about Ed Byrne and to Ed Byrne, the comedian, because he is coming your way wherever you are in the country, because he's playing in Dublin on the 22nd of June, then Galway the day after, and then later in the year, Limerick, Waterford, back in Dublin, and Kilkenny, Cork, too, on that leg of the tour. There are still some tickets available. EdByrne.com if you want to get your hands on the last few. The tour is the Tragedy Plus Time tour. Ed, you're very welcome to the show. What is Tragedy Plus Time?
That's my show. That's the show. That's the show I'm touring at the moment. It was apparently Mark Twain. That's who it's attributed to. Is the quote that humor could be defined as tragedy plus time. And I don't think it actually was. I looked into it. It turns out it was a guy called Steve Allen, American humorist. Came up with the idea that humor is tragic. So that's it. That's something that's not funny at the time can become funny later once enough time has elapsed. So it's another term for comedy, essentially. And surprisingly, few people get the reference. If I'm honest. It's one of those ones. Do you ever use a reference and you just assume everybody else knows what you're talking about? And then you realize that, no, it was just one that stuck in your head. So that's what it's called that. And it's I examine the concept of humor equaling tragedy plus time through the lens of two different, a minor tragedy and a major tragedy. A minor one, which was my car getting broken into, and a major one of my little brother passing away, which I know doesn't sound like a laugh a minute, but trust me when I tell you it's a funny show.
What was there, like, is there an equation you can apply to work out exactly when it is okay to start telling gags about your dead brother?
No, there isn't really. And what I do think it's funny as well is that the media have a lot to answer for when it comes to how much time has to elapse before a tragedy becomes funny. Because it's if you do say something that's like, you know, in inverted commas, too soon, people will come down on you. But if you wait too long, then reviewers will say, it's not very topical, is it? So you're just watching Jimmy Carr. He did a 9/11 joke, and people are slagging him off like something fierce for like 9/11. That was ages ago. That's over 20 years ago. And it's like, yeah, but if he'd done it that year, he'd have been fired, you know. So it is. It's genuinely a conundrum as to how long you wait before you're, you know, it's decent and allowed, and yet if you wait too long, then you're a hack.
I don't know if you've seen it, there's a great South Park episode where there's a completely different storyline happening, and about halfway through they all realise that the time has just elapsed whereby they can make jokes about AIDS, and it's just completely unrelated to the story, but they just realise, oh my god, look at the time it is, we can joke about AIDS.
Well, I think once you have, you know, something that's like, once something's not as big a threat, I guess you can, yeah. It doesn't be a furrow I would choose to plan, but certainly I'm.
What does it get easier? Because I know you spoke before about maybe the first few performances at the show, how emotional it was, mm-hmm. given the nature of the big tragedy rather than the minor one. Has it gotten easier by this stage?
Yeah, but then it's weird. Some nights will just be more emotional than others. And I know that, for instance, when I play Dublin, it'll be my sister's first time seeing it. It'll be my dad's second time seeing it, but it'll be his first time hearing it because he didn't have his hearing aid in at the Edinburgh Fringe. So it'll be his first time experiencing it, shall we say. So that'll be, you know, that'll be an emotional one. But yeah, it's weird. Like, I was in Barnsley on the second anniversary of my little brother's death, and that made it a very emotional night. And they were a fantastic audience. They were exactly what I needed. So some nights it's rougher than others, but it's still overall. It's a funny show, and it's a very gratifying show to do because every night people are coming along who didn't know who Paul Byrne was, and then they leave, you know, knowing who Paul Byrne was. So that's gratifying, you know. And I there's a lot of stuff in the show about arguments I had with him and stuff like that. And without airing dirty laundry, it's actually very cathartic to me to put his side of the argument out there, having spent ages thinking he was just an arse for what happened in the argument. I now, as I explain the argument to the audience, I'm looking more at his point of view than I did at the time. So that's also, you know, very helpful. Yeah, I've never done a show like it. I've never done a show where, like, I've tried to tackle such a weighty topic and where I've had, you know, I've had anything other than just trying to be funny. I've never really done it before.
I don't know, is this, you know, the Bader-Meinhof complex thing where if somebody says, oh, have you seen all the magpies? And then all you see are magpies. So maybe that's what's happening here. But Miles Jupp is coming on the show, and he's got this show at the moment as well, which is born of his kind of experience of
cancer diagnosis.
Yeah. And then, you know, what's really zeitgeisty, to use that awful phrase, is Baby Reindeer, which was born of a kind of a stage show as well, born of a dark experience. I mean, is there a trend in comedy at the moment to kind of mine those depths?
I think there is. And I don't know exactly where it's coming from. I think partly comedy in its current form has been around for a long time. And I think people, some people, I think want more of a story and more of a, you know, a show than just somebody standing on stage telling jokes for an hour. I think a major watershed moment would have been Hannah Gadsby's Nanette, and the fact that it won every award going and made her an international comedy star by basically giving up on comedy halfway through the show. Like, essentially, like about 20 minutes towards the end, she just ditches it and it's just a serious, you know, monologue, which was quite a, you know, brave thing to do. I think I've chosen not to go down that route. I've chosen to make the show as funny as I possibly can and take a serious subject. But I think, you know, doing comedy about something serious is certainly not new. I mean, you look at MASH or even Scrubs or even episodes of Friends where they go hard on the Ross-Rachel breakup. You know what I mean? Having a sad moment in a comedy show and then punctuating it with a big laugh is that in itself isn't new. But I do think you will see a lot more shows these days about people processing their trauma, as it were, or just talking, you know, death and things like that. For me, it's weird. I should absolutely have done the Dead Dad show before doing the Dead Brother show. This is what feels completely out of order for me. It feels completely unnatural, you know.
It's just comedians basically using the stage as therapy. That's the trend, is it?
Do you know what it is? No, it's because it's the only way you're going to get 5-star reviews from critics. That's it. That's the problem. They need trauma to shock them out of their torpor. Reviewers are going like, oh, it's just another hour of jokes. 3 stars. Where is the trauma? Where does he drag the audience to a place of sadness and then back again to a place of laughter? That's the real skill in comedy. I'm being cynical, but I think a lot of it's driving that. This is the most well-reviewed stand-up comedy show I've ever done. Is it my funniest one? Probably not.
We have local and European elections looming, and obviously we're talking about that an awful lot in the show. And one of the narratives in this election cycle is this kind of polarization of politics. And, you know, we were chatting about it last week in the show, and it resonated with something you had said, I think, in The Guardian earlier in the year about, and maybe you said it elsewhere as well, but about that happening a little bit in comedy as well, kind of tribalism.
Yeah.
What's the root of that?
First of all, one thing I've noticed is that, working mainly in the UK, it used to be you could absolutely just make a joke about whoever the prime minister was and people would laugh. And the same thing in Ireland, you know, you can make it doesn't matter if they voted for that party. They're the Taoiseach, they're the prime minister. Of course, you're going to make jokes about them. And then something happened in the UK, particularly after Brexit, where as you go more to the extremes. So if you make a joke about David Cameron or David Miliband or whatever, you know, that's fine. But when you make a joke about Boris Johnson or Jeremy Corbyn, people get far more tribal and like, no, leave him alone. I like him, so I don't want you to make jokes about him. And you're like, well, they're running the country. Of course I'm going to make jokes about them, you know. And it's people have gotten, a lot of people talk about this whole thing, oh, you can't say anything in comedy anymore. And a lot of time they're referring to, you know, the woke, shutting down things that aren't woke. But it's just as bad on the other side. I've had more people walk out of this show because I have some stuff about COVID conspiracy theories and people who deny the existence of COVID-19 as a disease. I've had people walk out because of that. You know, because they won't be told that COVID exists, and they won't be told that they're wrong for saying it doesn't. So, you know, people are either side of the political spectrum, I think people are just more touchy. And they're just there. It's a real shame. Like, people just can't, you know, can't stand having their if they have any kind of an opinion that they hold dear, they don't like it getting slagged off. And as, like I say, that's on either end of the political spectrum.
And are you, because you've been around for so long and you've had such success, are you able to ignore it to a degree? I just wonder, is there greater pressure maybe on a younger comedian to kind of think, oh God, in this kind of tribal society, I have to pick a tribe?
Yeah, I think you might be right there. And I think it's a shame. I just did an interview on radio in Perth, Australia. And the guy's like, so, what do you think of that? And I gave a very diplomatic answer about how, you know, as far as I'm concerned, funny's funny. And I find if somebody says something really woke and gets a round of applause, or somebody says something really anti-woke and gets a round of applause, both are equally tedious. You know, a lot of time I do find myself sitting there going, and the joke, I get the statement. That's what we call a setup. Now, where's the punch? Where's the, oh, there isn't one. Okay, you're just, you know. And I was talking about how that, you know, that people who put a political statement in place of a joke, I find that annoying. And I thought it was quite a diplomatic answer. He goes, yeah, but if you had to pick, you know, would you be woke? Would you be anti-woke? Jesus. You know, and I said, well, I guess if I gunned to my head, I'd probably be more woke because, you know, they're just
naturally confrontational Australians. Yeah. I think we'll just agree on that, will we?
Yeah. But then even at the end of the interview, it goes, anyway, that was Ed Byrne there. A little bit woke, but anyway, he's funny. You made me pick!
Brilliant. So listen, I kind of at the start of the chat, I listed all the different places all over the country you're going. Do you know in advance, you know, when you're talking about places like Limerick and Waterford, Kilkenny and Dublin, places you know so well, do you know in advance where you go for the pre-show pint in those places?
No, I kind of, a lot of time I'm just working it out on the day. Mm. Yeah, it just comes down to where is within easy sort of journey. If it's a really, really good spot, we'll get in the car and drive to it. I say, we have a tour manager, you know.
Yeah. And, just to clarify. Sorry,
when you're drinking as many pre-show pints as I am, you can't drive yourself.
That's that bloody woke world we live in, you see, Edgy.
Hey, can't even drink or drive anymore. Can't do anything. So I generally figure it out on the day. Yeah, it's become a weird thing, just a tradition now of just trying to find a nice pub. And preferably one that sells as local a beer as possible. In fact, if it's brewed on the premises, that's the ideal. I've actually found some really nice spots around all over the place where you're just in a prefab on an industrial estate sitting on beer kegs and it's some 22-year-old Polish lad who brews his own beer. And they're just the best ones, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, listen, if you like the sound of that, why wouldn't you? Like I say, Dublin is first up, then Galway, Limerick, Waterford, Dublin again, and then Kilkenny and Cork before Christmas. EdBurn.com if you want to get tickets. There are a few tickets remaining, so get them quick. Ed, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.